You might have to sing that some more, man. God. We had to cut on to the house after that. That's just good stuff. God. He said old school, but he didn't say he was going right up. If y'all got your Bibles, go to John chapter 7. We're going, if y'all don't mind, I'm going to try to scratch around a new message, all right? John chapter 7. I've never preached from here. And I'll be honest with you, we're wading into some water that I don't feel great and comfortable with. I've been tempted not to preach on this. I've been tempted to go back and grab a little nugget out of John chapter 6. But I'm not. I'm just going to preach what God gave me. I ain't going to try to crutch up on something I don't know. I'm just going to give it to you the way God gave it to me. And our goal is to get down to verse 37 from verse 1, okay? That's my goal. It's a long way to go, but I don't think it'll be too bad. We're going to get into some stuff. And I'm being honest with you. God gave me this. I worked on it over the week. I thought I was going to preach it this morning, but God said no, not this morning. He had a whole different message this morning, and I think I know why now. But I don't mind to get in the Word of God and preach on some things I'm not real comfortable with. So let's pray, and then we'll get in it. Lord, have your way tonight. Let me decrease as you increase. Lord, let the Spirit of God, which is already here, make more out of this than I can. In Jesus' name, amen. John 7, 1, it says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry or Jerusalem because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Judea, that the disciples also may seek the works that thou doest. They may see the works, not seek, see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou doest these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is alway ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hateth me, because I testify of it, and the works thereof are evil. Go you up into the feast, and I go not up yet unto the feast, nor my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. And let's stop right there. I want y'all to get this. First of all, the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot, S-U-K-K-O-T. Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Booths. More or less, though, it's the Feast of the Harvest, okay? It's the first fruits of the harvest. It's the time God said, let's have a feast that we're going to glorify God at the end of the season when we're about to bring in the fruits, all right, of the fruits of your labor. And I want you to worship. So all over Jerusalem, all over Israel, all over this nation, you would see these little booths. And I'd like to say it almost reminds you of Jonah when he made the little gourd over him where he could watch the destruction of Nineveh. These men and women would go up to the feast and they would make themselves a little bit of... It wasn't a beautiful... Not like our tents. You know, our nice... It's just something to block the sun. Almost where we get our brush arbor services from. Okay? Just something to block off the sun. Amen? But they were headed to a feast, and you could look all over Jerusalem and all over Judea, and you'd see these little makeshift covers from the sun. And they were going up to worship God and thanking Him for a harvest. And that's what the Feast of Tabernacles is. They would get there and they would all worship and they'd all bring a kind of a first fruits of their harvest and they would celebrate. Because the harvest is about to come in, or is coming in. But little did they know that every feast and every celebration and everything God done points to Jesus. The Feast of Tabernacles tabernacles is nothing but a feast to represent the harvest of the end of this world and the second coming of Christ. God, y'all ain't got it yet because y'all still sitting where you're sitting. Amen? Jesus is about to attend the feast of the tabernacles. But Jesus is hesitant to go up to the feast of tabernacles because what he's trying to show them is the feast of tabernacles is representations of not this coming, God, not me here, the second coming. Not the low king, but the high king. Not the one who's coming to make peace, but the one who's coming to say, it's over. Amen? I love his brethren. I don't know who his brethren are. I guess he considers them Jewish. They said, here's what you need to do. I'll preach this two different ways right here. Here's what you need to do. You need to go up to Jewry. You need to go up there and show yourself openly. Have you ever tried to tell God what he needs to do? Have you ever done? I do that sometimes. Hey, God, here's what we're going to do, and let's go do it. If you want everybody to know, this is the way to do it, Lord. God, you think, I don't know what I'm doing. Amen? That's the first way of preaching it. Here's the second way. Hey, you guys go on ahead of me, and you get up there, because it's not my time yet. That's kind of a picture of where we're at today. We're here, and we're telling people that he's coming. And guess what? He's on his way. Amen? He's on his way. Yeah, he's on his way. Amen? Ain't that good? I hope it's good to you. It's good to me. He stayed in Galilee. He stayed in one place while everybody else went to the holy city to tell them that Jesus is coming. Amen? Verse 10, but when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. Some said, he is a good man. Others say, nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit, no man speak openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Let's just stop right there again. Is Jesus doing the same thing they did then, right? 2,000 years ago? People are saying he's good. Some people say he's bad. Some people say, man, he's the greatest thing. Some people say, he ain't nothing. Amen? Ain't much changed, is there? Hey, it really don't matter. Hey, guess what? We just got to do what we're called to do. Amen? We're just supposed to represent Jesus Christ. Whether people accept him or reject him, it really doesn't. That's not up to us. That's not our position. That's not our title. That's not our worry. Well, all we got to tell him is he's coming. All we got to do is say he's your Savior. I love this. And Jesus comes up, and man, there's no other name under heaven that causes as much separation as Jesus. I mean, you can do a lot of things, but as long as you don't bring up Jesus, you're going to be all right. You can bring up religion. You can bring up God. You can bring up worship. You can bring up all kinds of stuff. But once you step out on the name and say, yeah, but in the name of Jesus. Amen? Because that's the name of the God that we serve. That's the God that's still alive. That's the God that the tomb couldn't hold. I was listening to Denise's song today. It's because he walked out of that tomb. Because he left the tomb behind. Woo! I got to watch myself because I know if I don't keep it together, ain't nobody going to preach. I sat there thinking, my gosh, because he left the tomb behind, I'm going to leave it behind one day. Man, I about lost my mind. You ever almost lose your mind when you think about that? Because Jesus left the tomb. Man, one day we're going to... Man, every tomb, every grave of every believer, one day is going to be empty. I went to do a funeral one time with a friend of mine, and the funeral, something happened. And I ain't going to give you all the details. You can ask me about it some other time. But in a craziest thing happened, they had to knock the sides off the casket to get it in the ground. It was in Pottville. All right, I'm just going to tell you that. All right, we were in Pikeville. We were in Bledsoe County. And they said, we can't get it in the ground. I said, well, we could take it back and do all this other stuff. And the family got together and they said, just take the handles off of it. And I thought, man, we all went to the cars. They sent the family away and they're over hammering. And I looked and there was a handle over here and a handle over there and a casket over there. And I got to thinking about it and I said, man, one day that's the way all of them's going to look. Man, them men I don't want about four others. We're like, but God's good. One day, ain't gonna be somebody's gonna drive by that very graveyard and say, "Man, what happened? All these caskets are just busted out everywhere. Bunch of clothes everywhere. Ain't that cool? I don't know about you, but I get to thinking about stuff like that. Harassing around about Jesus." People are still wrestling around about Jesus. People, when they hear the name of Jesus, it has nothing to do with their outer response. I said that this morning. Man, it's an inside battle. Amen? These people right now that you would look at them and you would say they'll never, ever, ever surrender to Christ. You don't know if they're about a half a step away. Amen? Sometimes the ones that are in the darkest places are closer to Christ than the ones that are in the lighter places sometimes. I love Jesus right here in verse 16. I'm trying to get somewhere, so I'm going to keep driving towards 38. I know it's Sunday night. Jesus answered them and said in his doctrine. I didn't think we got that far, did we? Now let's jump back up there. Verse 12, is it? Yeah. What was it, 15? All right, thank you. And Jesus and the Jews marveled, saying, how this man letters having not never learned. Okay, he did. Let me get 14. That'll bring me back into context, 14 and 15. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Now he wasn't even supposed to be there, but he went up and taught anyway. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters having never learned? What they were saying is, Jesus went up. See, they didn't know why he was not at the feast. And all of a sudden, he arrives at the feast. He goes up in the temple and says, hey, give me a scroll. Opens a scroll, probably Isaiah. I'm not going to say for sure. Opens a scroll and begins to take power and authority that they've never seen before. And even his staunchest critics look at each other and go like this. This man's powerful. And how is he powerful like this? And he's never studied under nobody. But literally they don't know that he's the one who breathed the scriptures. I mean, he's God. He breathed them. Amen? So he's teaching them from experience. I'd rather hear somebody teach from experience most times. I'm just saying. Never mind. As a little personal dig, Eric, for whatever. Jesus, verse 16, and Jesus answered them and said, in my doctrine, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know that of the doctrine, whether it be of good or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself speaketh of his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why you go about to kill me? Now this is going to be something that runs through this whole chapter right here. It's really neat. Jesus comes in, he says, hey, if you're after Jesus, you're gonna lay off the things that's of you. Listen, salvation and Christianity is not a self-promoting religion. It's not a self-promoting deal. It's a promotion of God. When you get saved, you're no longer trying to figure out how you can do you the best. You're trying to figure out how you can glorify God the best. And if that's not going on, you never got it. Amen? That's what he's saying. He said, I come here to promote my own doctrine. I come here to promote God's doctrine. And if anybody's trying to do that, they'll see it's good. And if they're not trying to do that, they'll see that it's wrong. Amen? You can always tell when somebody's knowing they're saved and knowing they're trying to follow God because they're never trying to override God's word, override God's way of doing things, overriding God and saying, well, I know it says it's wrong in the Bible, but I'm still trying to get away with it. A believer never does that. A believer will say stuff like this. I'm teaching right here if you don't mind. All right, a believer says this right here. I know that I've done wrong, and I might do wrong again. But God thinks it wrong, wrong. I know it's wrong, and I'm trying to fix it. Did that help anybody? Did you get what I just said? I hope you get it, because there's times in my life that I do wrong. But as a believer, I don't ever say, because I have a desire or something in my flesh that desires to do wrong, God says it's wrong, it's wrong. I understand it is wrong, and I'm trying not to do it again. Does that make sense to you? That's being a Christian. That's being a believer in Jesus Christ. When somebody says, I'm wrong, God's got to change where my wrong becomes. They're not a believer. They are against Jesus. They are against God. I know I'm stepping all over this one, but I'm going to keep on. That means they are going to lose. That means I'm going to lose. Amen? If I say I'm doing this, God says I can't do it, so God's going to have to change. I'm going to lose. He's going to knock me all the way down to the ground. Because you're going to lose. Because God says it's wrong. It is wrong. And if you're trying to get him to change, he says something like this: I am God. I change not. Okay. Well, if he ain't going to change, then I need to. Amen. You get that? I hope y'all got this. I hope this is better to you than it's. I just love the Word of God. I'm not teaching it very well, but I'm giving it my best. Verse 20, then the people answered him and said, thou hast a devil, who goeth about to kill thee? Verse 20, I've taught here before right in this area, this very scripture. This is hilarious. They have gotten together on a regular occasion and discussed killing him. He's God. He knows the intent of their heart. Says, why are you going about to kill him? And they said, you got a devil. Who's trying to kill you? God, I love this stuff. This happens. Have you ever run into somebody, even in the faith, they do crazy stuff, you call them on the crazy stuff, and they say, I'm not doing the crazy stuff. Are you, what? That's what they're doing. These religious guys are sitting there going, who's trying to kill you? You got a devil in you. Do you see where they went with it? You got a devil. Went all the way, you got a devil in you. God, you got a devil. That's kind of a weird thing, right? Look, let's go a little bit further. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but it is of the fathers, and you on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive a circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. You see what he did there? God, he got him. Jesus, man, I'm telling you right now, he's God, so he can do this, but they're like, you shouldn't heal on the Sabbath, nailing him every time. That's what they eventually tried to get him all the way to the Calvary on, is him breaking the Sabbath. He said, you can't heal a man on the Sabbath. What he said on, he said, listen, does the eighth day of a person being born, would you circumcise him or not? Oh, you absolutely circumcise the law. But guess what? Now you're doing work on the day of the Sabbath. But you say, well, but the boy's 8 years old. It has to take place. It's God's law, eighth day. And it's a law of healing. Eight means healing. You got more healing principles on the eighth day of your life than you ever will in any other part of your life. Amen. That's why they circumcise. Because God's smart. So guess what? God's saying, here, you're circumcising somebody to follow the law. I'm healing a person to make them whole because I'm God. Judge the righteous judgment. It's okay to get somebody out of their trouble. Man, religious people, they don't care really when it comes right down to it. That's what the essence of this whole thing is. Religion, the real pure religion, should love people. And you should want to see people get well. It's not about all the other stuff. Sometimes we more about the stuff than we worry about people. Are y'all doing all right? This is good stuff, right? There's some meat in here. It's going to get real good at the end, I promise. I just like teaching some of this stuff. It's good. Verse 25. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? Did y'all get that? Remember up there when they had the thing, why do you seek to kill me? Verse 19, the people said, you have a devil. Who's going about to kill you? Then all the people in Jerusalem that are at the feast, in verse 25, then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? Everybody knew they was trying to kill. Nobody would speak openly of Jesus because they were afraid that the Jews were going to kill Jesus and them. Ain't that neat? I just think, when I read that kind of stuff, I'm thinking, man, that's what happens when you have religion without Jesus. Whew, it's ugly. And this here is ugly. All people were like, Jesus up in the temple teaching, and I'm teaching powerful stuff, and they're all looking at each other going, man, they're sending mixed signals because they're not killing him. He's teaching, they're listening. See, sometimes God's so good that he can take your worst critic and make them shut up. He can make the person that wants to destroy you sit there and go, I can't move. Amen? I've had people come hear me preach before back in the day that just didn't like me, and they was going to come, and guess what they did? Listen. Amen? That's what happens when the power of God gets in some. They just let Jesus preach. They're like, we can't really say it. We're like mesmerized. They're sitting there going, how in the world is this man doing this? He's never been set under any of us. He went to none of elect schools. He never sat under the great teachers. He's a powerful man. And all the Jews are confused because they're looking for him. They think, they know, some of them know he's a Christ. Some of them are like, I don't think he is. But they're all confused. Man, why are they letting him teach so much? They didn't have a choice. Verse 26, but lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers now indeed know indeed that this is the very Christ? Question mark. Howbeit, we know this man whence he is. Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then Christ Jesus in the temple, as he taught, saying, ye both know me, you know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, whom, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? What they were just sitting there going, man, they're just having an open. This whole festival's going on. This whole feast is going on. And Jesus is teaching, and they're just sitting there going. I mean, the Pharisees are literally trying to pull their hands up to go and grab him and close him up, but they can't because it's not time for him to die. It's time for him to teach. It's time for him to show that he's Christ. And then guess what? Then some of them are actually believing. They're like, he's Jesus. And then one of them actually probably stands up and says, well, if Jesus shows up, is he going to do more than he does? No. No. Man, some really cool stuff. I love how this works out. Verse 35, then said Jews among themselves. Is that far, how we're at? 32, thank you. Then the Pharisees heard that people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. They couldn't handle it. They were so jealous of who he was. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. You shall seek me, and you shall not find me. And where I am, thither you cannot come. He's just talking about when it dies and when it's resurrected and he's in heaven. And they're going to be looking for him, but they can't find him. But the religious people, the first thing they think of, they don't think of him going to heaven. They don't think of him being seated on the throne in glory. They think that he's going to the Gentiles. They think that he's going to hide from them. Amen? You know, did y'all see this? Remember when they took him before Pontius Pilate? And Pontius Pilate says, I know why they bring him here. It's because they're jealous of him. They're jealous of the crowds that he was drawing. They're jealous of the attention that he seeks. And there was real power. There was a move of common people that were coming to Christ. And Christ was letting the publicans and sinners and all the people that were on the outside come in. Amen? Religion was holding them out. They couldn't handle this. So they got together and said, we got to take him. Okay? So then that's where we're at right now. Let me boil this back down too. While this is going on, you got to kind of step back because this is one scene inside of a temple. At this same time, the Feast of Tabernacles is still going on. They're still worshiping God. They're still praising God. They're still feasting. And they are having a great time. And Jesus is in the midst of this. And this is kind of spreading like fire. Y'all got me? It's kind of like it's just spreading throughout the whole city, everywhere. It's Jesus in the temple, and people are coming to the temple. People say, man, they're not condemning him, they're grabbing him, they're not putting him in hold, they're not doing, and he's teaching. It seems like they're arguing, but they're not winning. And it's going, because they don't have cell phones, they don't have Facebook, they don't have Twitter, they don't even have TV. It's just word of mouth. Man, Jesus is here, Jesus is here. Man, and the Feast of Tabernacles has got a buzz about it, right? And y'all know that the Feast of Tabernacles is a God-ordained feast. It's a God-ordained religious event. Y'all got that? It's something they went up and done all the time, all right? From year to year. We do it every Sunday. And Wednesday, believe it or not, Wednesday. I was just kidding. That was a dig. I'm sorry. I apologize. No, but we do. And what I'm saying is, it's a religious event that occurs. Are y'all good? It occurs. And they're going up there, and Jesus is in the midst of it. Some of them believe, some of them don't believe, and some of them just want to destroy him. Y'all see it yet? Y'all see it? How it kind of is? Okay? That's kind of how church, that's how kind of everything works. Amen? Jesus is in the midst of the church today. He's in the midst of our services. There are some people that are coming. They're not going to accept him. Some people are going to accept him, and some just could care less. Amen? And there's people that will pass by here week after week after week, day after day, year after year, live right here, live right there, live right there, and not even care what's going on in here. Not even care about Jesus. Matter of fact, they want to destroy religion, take it away, take it out, cast it far away. I believe there's an implemented plan by Satan himself to separate God from everything we do and sanitize everything from God and religion and Jesus and everything. That way, we could all just go all the way right up to the brink of death and pass away lost. Amen? I believe we've sanitized funerals, we've sanitized hospitals, we've got ourselves to the point where we don't suffer, we don't feel, we don't touch, we don't hardly see death, think about death, feel death, we don't even feel pain anymore. And you know what? It desensitizes us to the fact that, hey, we need Jesus. Y'all good? So they're having a religious ceremony. I'm trying to build y'all up right, because this is so powerful. Y'all ready? This is the only reason I want to preach tonight is this verse right here, these verses. Thank you. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither we will he go that we shall not find him? Where will he go that we won't find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach to the Gentiles? But what manner of saying is this that he saith, ye shall seek me and shall not find me? And whither I am, thither you cannot come. Now check this out. This is the last day of the feast. It's the greatest day of the feast. It's the last part of the day. They've eaten the harvest. They're full. They're ready. I mean, they're about to take in harvest, the grain, wheat, all these harvests. They're just going to have a great time. Listen, they've had a great religious experience. They've had a greater religious experience, and Jesus has been in the midst of it. Y'all good? Listen to what he does. In the last day, the great feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Can I do it the way God gave it to me? Jesus stood up in the middle of this feast. Listen how it says it. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, have him come unto me. At the end of a feast. At the end of a harvest feast. Said, you've come to church and you're still thirsty. You've come to a feast and you're still thirsty. You've tried religion and you're still thirsty. You've tried to do it your way and you're still thirsty. Before the harvest comes, if you're still thirsty, come unto me. If you're still thirsty, he weeps bitterly. Can you hear the hurt in his heart? You know of me. You don't know me. You come here and you worship and you do these things, but you don't know me. If you're still thirsty, Come unto me. Come unto me. Man, can you see him? Thousands and thousands and thousands, if not millions of Jews standing in the city, and it ringing down through the hallways, down through the alleyways, down through the roads. Oh, if you thirst. Coming. We've ate all week. We feasted all week. And we were still thirsty. I remember coming to church when I was lost. Oh, coming to church when I was lost. Leaving thirsty. But when Jesus stood up in my life, is there any thirsty? Oh, yes. I'm so thirsty. I need you so bad. Oh, gosh, I'm thirsty. Religion won't do it. Coming to church won't do it. Reading my Bible wouldn't do it. Praying wouldn't do it. Being around good godly people wouldn't do it. There's only one thing that can do it. See, these people were in the holiest of holy cities. They were in a place where everybody was pointed towards God, but nobody knew Him, and He stood up in the very last day. There is going to be a day, a very last day, and God is going to stand up and say, "Come unto me, all that thirst." The living water. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they had believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. You know what he was saying? If you get saved, if you call unto me, if you ask me, if you cry out to me and say, just ain't enough. Religion ain't enough. Being raised in religion is just not enough. I'm thirsty. You know what he says? Then I will give you the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. What? When he gets in you. I was going to preach this weekend. I was. Every time I turn around. Y'all remember the little woman at the well? She's thirsty. You see, remember she brought her water pot up to the well? Dragging that water pot. You know why she's dragging that water pot? The only way you're going to get water. But the last scene we see between her and Jesus, it says, and she left her water pot and went to town. Amen? She left her water pot. I don't know if archaeologists ever dig that thing up or not, but what she did is she said, I had to come up here all the time and refill my water pot until I met Jesus. And then I had a well, amen, on the inside, so I can lay down my water pot and leave it, because that's a temporary thing. I got something in me that I'll never thirst again. I met him when I was thirsty, but I'll thirst no more. Listen, everybody needs to hear this. Jesus Christ is that living water. See, when you get saved, you don't even know that you're thirsty. You don't even know that you're hungry. But when you get saved, a thirst is quenched in you and a hunger is quenched in you that you didn't even know you had. You thought it was women. Well, I got to have another woman. You thought it was girls or guys. I have to have another guy. You thought it was money. You thought it was a job. You thought it was a title. You thought it was a person. You thought it was a place. You thought it was stuff. But you found out, oh my God, it's Jesus. He's the one that satisfies the hunger and thirst inside of me that only He can fill. I remember. I love when David says, the righteous never hunger and never are begging bread. Do you know why? Because I got it. He said, well, you believe that Christians will never get broke? They'll never be poor? Not right, not the right bread. You can be broke. You can be sick. You can be dying. And still love Jesus. Amen? You can be as hungry as anybody in the world and still love Jesus. You thirsty? Yeah, but not for spiritual stuff. You hungry for spiritual stuff? Because when I hungered and thirsted for Him and I asked for Him, I got Him. Amen? Do y'all see Jesus standing up at the end of that spiritual religious event and asking, is there anybody thirsty? Well, listen, get what we're doing. We're closing up a religious event right here tonight, right now. And I ask you, is there anybody in here thirsty? You can come unto Jesus. and he'll quench the thirst. If Scott comes and gets a song as y'all stand. Is there anybody?